wrapping up our discipline study today. And so I just kind of want to recap a little bit of where we've been. We started with week one, just the whole reason of why do we even discipline our kids. And that our goal is to point their hearts to Jesus, right? And we talked about that it takes love and discipline balanced together. Remember how we talked about the seesaw the first week? The seesaw is no fun if you're out of balance. It doesn't work. And then Ann talked to us about the difference between raising good kids and godly kids. And that putting in that work, paying now, means that we don't have to pay later, because later always costs us more. And so she talked to us about putting in the work of disciplining and raising your kids. And then we moved to how each of our situations is different. Remember, we're all running a different maze, right? Where one mom turns left and you turn right doesn't mean either of you's right or wrong. It just means you're different. You've got different kids. You've got a different household. You are a different parent. And so we talked about how each of our journeys is unique. And then Stephanie came and talked to us about the first two parts of discipline. Do you remember the first two levels of discipline? Teach and what? Train. And we've got to teach and train our kids. And she talked to us about teaching and training them physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And then we moved into correction, the fun part. We talked about time in, time out, extinction, spanking. And then Carrie talked to us last week about logical and natural consequences. And so I hope we've added some tools to your toolbox as a parent. And if you missed any of those weeks, I just want to remind you that the audio to all of those is online. I know a couple of them have been a little bit slow, but it's caught up now. And so you can find those online, fellowshiponline.com/classes. Scroll down and you can find those. You can go back and listen to them, share them with your husband, share them with a friend. Those are there for you. And so now that we've walked through our study about the why, the when, and the hows of discipline, I want us to think back to week one, where really we kicked off this study with a warning. A warning that there was a danger in this study of it just becoming kind of the Bible's how-tos about parenting, sort of the do's and don'ts. That unless we keep the right perspective, it just becomes a checklist. And so today, as we wrap up, I want to press a little bit deeper into that. Because the how-tos are important. They really are, and they're helpful. Has this been helpful to you guys? I hope so. This was extremely helpful to me when my kids were little, and then for years after that, and even now. And so those how-tos are important. But if we're honest, I really don't think that's where we get tripped up. I think we have a general idea of what to do, when we should step in, why we should step in. But I think that really what it boils down to and where we get off track as a parent, as a mom, is that we're afraid of two things. We're afraid that we are completely screwing up. Anybody? Anybody lay in bed at night and just think, man, I'm pretty sure I'm totally ruining my kids. And then secondly, we're afraid that others are disappointed in us. Carrie said it as she introduced herself last week, that she's right there with the rest of us, just doing her best to not ruin her children. I think we all identify with that. We want so badly to be good moms who raise kids who turn out well. And if you really think about it, a lot, if not most, of our parenting is really driven by this fear. Fear that I'm doing it wrong. Fear that someone else thinks I'm doing it wrong. Fear that I'm going to mess up my kids. Fear that my kids are going to mess up my grandkids. Fear that my kids are going to miss out. Fear that my kids will think that I don't love them. Fear that my family members think I'm handling this situation wrong. There's a lot of things that we're afraid of, right? And that's how we feel. We live under the weight of these expectations. The expectations that both we have of our own selves, and then the expectations, whether they're real or perceived, that we think others have of us. And so the result is we try as hard as we possibly can to do all the right things and not do the wrong things. Right? Do you feel that in your daily life? The way you interact with your kids? And it's exhausting. Because what's right today, tomorrow that turns out to be the wrong thing. Not to mention that everyone has their own opinion of what's right and what's wrong. Do your research. You can find 5 articles that support this opinion, and you can find 5 that support this opinion. But we tell ourselves that this is how parenting works. That we've got to fill up this bucket over here that of right things. Do things the right way. And then we got to keep everything as much as we can out of this bucket over here. That's maybe the wrong thing to do. And that we think that we can have kids who turn out great if the right things we do outweigh our mistakes. And so we keep trying. We keep running that race. And we've talked before about how our kids are not defined by their behavior, right? How if you have a son and he forgets to take out the trash one day, that doesn't make him a lazy person. Or maybe you have a daughter who's mean to her little sister one day. That doesn't make her a hateful bully, right? We don't draw those conclusions about our kids, but that's exactly what we do with ourselves. We say, oh, I missed my child's award at school today because my meeting at work ran long. Or I lost my temper and yelled at my kids today. And instead of just concluding that we made a mistake or today was a bad day or something was maybe beyond our control, what we conclude is I'm a bad mom. Do you do that? Am I the only one? But what I want you to hear is there is no perfect way of parenting. There is no single right way. Because remember what I said, we have those different kids in different circumstances, different parents, and different journeys. And I think God made it that way. He could have given us a lot more instructions, but he didn't. And I think he did that on purpose because it requires that we come to him. It requires that we lean on him. It requires that we depend on him every moment of every day. And so the answer to this fear as a parent, whatever that looks like in your life, maybe it looks like control or anxiety. Maybe it looks like being that lawnmower parent or that snowplow parent that Carrie talked about last week, eliminating all the possible obstacles and struggles for your kids. But whatever that looks like in your life, courage or bravery when we feel fearful is not the answer. It's not pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and trying to dump more things in that bucket of right mom actions. The answer to this paralyzing guilt and shame that we feel is realizing that we are not the sinner. Because when we live carrying this weight, this need to be a successful parent, do you know where the focus is? It's on us. It's on us and not on Jesus. So I want to go back to that seesaw. Remember the seesaw we talked about at the beginning of the semester? The way that we balance our lives, the way that we balance our parenting. And what did we say that center point has to be? It has to be Jesus. Because the weight of balancing our lives, if we try to put ourselves as that center point, that weight is crushing to us. We feel it. We feel that we're not made to be there. It's too hard. It's too heavy. And so we have to remember that the way that our lives turn out and the way that our kids' lives turn out is not the sum of all the good things that we do minus all the wrong things that we do, and then we hope that we're on the plus side. You know, you feel that way? You feel like sometimes you're living in the red, you're doing too many wrong things? And we think that that's going to mess up our kids. But if we can just stay in the black and stay over here, then we've got it made. But we have to remember that Jesus is the one who was designed to carry that weight of our lives, of our families, of our parenting. We have to remember that he is the one who does the work in the hearts of our children, in the hearts of us as moms. But don't hear me say that what we do doesn't matter, because it does. And that's why we've been talking about this for the last 6 weeks. And sometimes we do get things wrong because we're broken, we're human, we live in a broken and sinful world. And so maybe you have screwed some things up, and maybe those things are weighing on you. And you know what? Welcome to the club, because we're all members of that club, every single one of us. And so maybe you need to ask for forgiveness from your children. Maybe you need to press reset in your parenting, in the environment, in your home. And if that's where you are today, what I want you to hear is it's never too late. You've never messed up beyond repair. Because God's in the business of changing hearts. He's in the business of wiping the slate clean. He's in the business of new beginnings. That's what he does. One of my favorite things about Jesus is that when we look in the Bible at interactions that he had with various people, I think about the woman who came to him who had committed adultery. And these men wanted to stone her. I think about the woman at the well. She came to him. She'd had all these husbands. She was living with a guy who wasn't even her husband. And what I appreciate about Jesus in interaction over interaction over interaction is that he doesn't sit down with them and say, all right, let's talk about this. You're living with this guy. He's not your husband. You were married to these guys before. You sinned in this way. You committed adultery here. You didn't follow me here. You did this wrong. You didn't do this right. He doesn't drag them over the coals. He doesn't recount all of their sins. Now he mentions them. Enough to get their attention. Enough to say, I know you, I see you. And then you know what he says to them? He says, come on, follow me. He says, go and sin no more. God doesn't want to rehash all of our mistakes. He wants us to follow him going forward. Because the past is done. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, it's all wiped clean. We don't have to stew over it. We don't have to feel guilty over it. We don't have to rehash all the things we wish we had done differently. Because of Jesus, we're able to focus on our future with him. And so what I want to say to you is, if you're looking to God for direction, if you're looking to him for guidance, then you're not screwing up your parenting. You're not ruining your kids. You're actually doing it perfectly. Because that's what he asks, is just dependence on him. Because I think God cares much more about the heart behind the action than the actual action itself. But I think this goes deeper. I think we fear not only are we messing things up as moms, not only are we doing it all wrong, we're afraid that we're disappointing ourselves and others. And if we're honest, deep down, we feel like God's disappointed in us. That he's shaking his head, rolling his eyes, and kind of muttering, man, is she ever going to get this right? Do you feel that? I mean, after all, isn't it our goal to please God? 1 Thessalonians 2:4 actually tells us that our purpose is to please God and not people. That he alone examines the motives of our hearts. And while that statement is true, I think we misunderstand God's intent. We misunderstand God's view of us. We see God as kind of a boss, or maybe a coworker, or somebody who is looking to us for a specific performance, for a specific behavior. But God's not giving us a performance review. And what I want to do today is I want us to change our perspective of how God sees us. He doesn't see us as his employee. He sees us as his child. And he is our father. And so I think we would do well to think about, how do we see our own children? They're not perfect. They're a mess. But how do we view them? What are some feelings that you have about them? That's how God sees us. Next week, as we start our next study, we're going to be talking about our identity in Christ. But I want to just look at a verse that talks a little bit about what God thinks about us. I've got actually a few verses for us to look at, because when we have a thought in our minds, we need to compare it to what God says. We need to see if they line up. And when they don't, then we have a choice of which one are we going to believe. And sometimes we have to make a conscious choice of the will to say, I'm going to believe what God says about me. I'm going to believe his words about me. So let's look at those. Jeremiah 31. God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And in Ephesians 1, God tells us that he chose us. He chose you. He chose me before the foundations of the world were even made. Psalm 18:19 says, he rescued me because he delighted in me. God delights in you. And then Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love, and he will exult over you with loud singing. God rejoices over you. Think about that for a minute. God rejoices over you. He knows everything about you. He knows all the things you've done wrong. He knows all the thoughts that you have that nobody else even knows. And he rejoices over you. You know, I tell my kids a lot that I'm proud of them. And sometimes even when I'm saying it, especially if I'm tucking them in at night or it's just kind of a moment where we're just kind of still, sometimes I go, what are you proud of them for? Why are you saying that? And you know what I've realized is I tell my kids I'm proud of them, and it's not always because of something they've done. It's just because they're mine. They're my kids. And I'm proud of just who they are. And that's how God feels about us. He loves you because you're His, not because of what you do. He quiets you with His love. Anybody have any anxiety this morning that needs to be quieted? Anybody have chaos in your life that you just feel like you need to take a deep breath? This tells us that God quiets us with His love. And then He exults over you with loud singing. And I had to look up exult. What's the difference between exult and exalt? They're different. Exult means to feel or show triumphant elation or jubilation. Okay, I want you to just picture that in your mind. Triumphant elation or jubilation over you. That's how God feels about you. And so these verses paint a picture for us, not of a God who stands in the corner waiting for you to mess up, watching you to see where He could correct you or scold you, point out what you did wrong. Guilt and shame are not from God. And so, yes, I want you to take the practical things from this study. I want you to take the how-tos. I want you to use those. I want those to be helpful to you. But most of all, I want you to take a new perspective of parenting. One that sees discipline, even your mistakes. Even your mistakes. As opportunities to show your kids and yourself the love of Jesus. Opportunities to trust Him in a new and a deeper way. A perspective that takes us out of the center and it puts Jesus in His rightful place, in the center of our families, the center of our parenting. So that instead of drowning under this weight of expectation, we can allow God to sing over us, to quiet us, to rejoice over us as child. Because, you know, I really don't think God cares as much whether you breastfeed or bottle feed, whether you send your kid to public school or private school, whether you choose to work or stay home. He cares about those things for you as an individual. But I think He cares less about the millions of choices that we have to make as parents and more about the heart behind those choices and whether our heart is seeking after Him. And so the antidote to our fear is knowing that we don't have to be capable. That our shortcomings remind us and they remind our kids that we need a perfect parent. And that's Jesus. That we don't have to get it all right. Because we can trust in God and His capability as a parent. That He is able, that He is present, that He is good, that He is our Father. And that no matter what happens, we can trust Him. And then finally, and maybe mostly today, I want you to remember and believe that you are not a disappointment to God. I'd like for us to take a moment this morning. And in your book, you've got some extra pages in the back. You might just flip over to one of those. And I'd like to just give you a minute to think about those things. Think about where you feel like you're messing up. Write them down. Name them. I don't know if you were here Thursday night and you were able to hear Jenny Allen speak, but she talked about her fears and her anxieties. And she said, you know what? For 18 months, I struggled and I didn't tell anybody what my fear was. It was keeping me awake at night. He said, when I finally named it, you know what I did? I started laughing. Because I realized how crazy it was. And so I want to give you a minute to just write down, where am I afraid? Where do I feel like I am messing up? Take a minute and think about that. I know you may, if you're like me, you may need a little more time. And I'd love for you to come back to that later. But the second thing that I would like for you to just write down, how do you picture God thinking about you? Really? Not what's the right answer, not what did Carrie just tell me. What do you think God thinks about you as a mom? How do you think He views you? Be honest. Maybe you feel that He's standing in the corner waiting for you to mess up. Maybe you feel that He's disappointed in you. Maybe you feel like He's never happy with you. Would you just name those things? Now I'm going to give you a second. And what I'd like for you to do is just confess those things to God. Ask Him to move back to the center. Ask Him to help you realize that this doesn't all depend on you. It's too heavy of a weight for you to carry. Would you just take a minute and confess to Him those things that you are worried about? Those places where you feel like you're really missing the mark as a mom. And just ask Him to step into those places. And then I want you to look at the second list that you wrote down about how you feel God views you. And I just want you to confess those things to Him. God, I'm sorry that I have assumed that you see me in this light. And ask Him to correct that picture. Ask Him to begin to teach you who He is and how He sees you. And then thank Him that He rejoices over you, that He quiets you with His love, and that He sings over you in exultation. Take a minute and do that. I'd like for us to close this morning by reading Psalm 91 together again. So if you'll put your things down and stand up, I would like for us to read this together because these are the things that God tells us will happen when we place Him at the center. When we choose to dwell in the shelter of the Most High, this is what God says He will do for us. Let's read this together. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. God, I thank you that you promised to be our provider and our protector. God, I just pray that we would see you. That we would see you today as our Father. Our Dad who loves us. Who rejoices over us. Who's not looking for us to do all the right things, God. Just looking for us to look to you and depend on you. God, remind us that you exult over us. That you have our best in mind, God. Would you just help us to put you at the center of our families, the center of our parenting, and at the center of our lives, God, knowing that we were never designed to be there because the weight is too heavy for us. So just remind us of the love that you have for us today, God. Change our mindsets. Change the picture we have in our minds of how you view us as moms. Let us not be bound by fear, God. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.